Philippians chapter 2 is the passage again we will be considering this morning. Philippians chapter 2. We'll read the final verses here of this chapter, commencing at verse 25. Philippians chapter 2, commencing to read at verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labour, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Amen. And may God bless these words to our hearts. Let's just seek the Lord's face now in prayer, and ask for his help as we come to the preaching of his word. Our Father in heaven, we pray that thou wouldst come, Lord, now even as we come around your word, and thou wouldst minister to us today. We pray, Lord, for a conscious sense of thy presence. We're asking, O God, for help. We're asking, Lord, for focus. We're asking for concentration. We're asking, Lord, thou wouldst deliver us from the things of life. And Lord, thou wouldst shut us into thyself. And may the word of God come to our hearts with grace and with power today. We thank you, Lord, for the word of truth and the word of life. We thank you, God has spoken. Lord, we have the sure testimony. We have a rock upon which we can, Lord, place our faith today. And we pray, O God, that as we would come before the word of God, that indeed it might dwell in our hearts richly. It might come and minister to us. It might come, Lord, and give us grace to live for thee. And so, Lord, we just cast our needs before thee. We cast, Lord, the need of this hour before thee. We pray, Lord, you'll give me help as I preach thy word. Lord, come upon me. Make me a vessel unto honour, meet, and useful in the Master's service. Hear and answer prayer today. For we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. Amen. Over the last couple of Lord's Day mornings, we have been thinking of the godly example of two prominent men of God. We firstly considered the Apostle Paul, who is the great example of Christian cheerfulness. He continued to rejoice in the Lord. And through difficult and trying times, he was still filled with joy as he worked in God's service and as God's work progressed. And then last week, we thought on Timotheus, or Timothy, who is the good example of the consistent Christian. Timothy, as a man of God, did not blow hot and cold. He was not here today and gone tomorrow. He did not have a boom and a bust style Christianity. But he was a man who was steadfast. He was a man who had stickability in the work of God. He was a soldier that labored, that toiled, that worked in Christ's service. As we think of both these godly men, we are considering men that were prominent and held a position of great responsibility in the early New Testament church. Paul was uniquely chosen by God to undertake the special task of bringing the gospel to the Gentile world. He was the apostle to the Gentiles. Before the apostle Paul went out as a missionary, the Gentile world really had never received the gospel. The gospel of Christ, the truth of God, was that which was contained inside the Jewish nation. But God, in a miraculous way, saved Paul. And he sent the apostle Paul out to be the apostle of the Gentiles, to be the first missionary, to take the truth of God out into the nations. After Paul's conversion, the Lord said of him in Acts 9:15, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Paul might have considered himself less than the least of all saints, but he was God's chosen vessel, an apostle, a distinguished servant of Christ, and the most significant and prominent leader in the early New Testament church. Timothy, although Timothy was not an apostle, was too a prominent servant of Christ at that time. He was the pastor in the great church at Ephesus, one of the most significant churches, one of the most prominent churches. It was Timothy who was the pastor there. And he was Paul's closest friend. Paul said of Timothy, "For I have no man like-minded." Timothy was of the same mind as Paul. He was Paul's son in the faith. And like Paul, he was a significant and a prominent character in the church at that time. This morning, we come to the final verses in Philippians 2. And in these verses, Paul is again setting before us the godly example of another great Christian. His name is Epaphroditus. And Paul speaks of this man in some detail between verses 25 and verse 30 here in Philippians chapter 2. Epaphroditus is nowhere else mentioned in Scripture apart from here in the book of Philippians. We know nothing about his background. We know nothing about his family, his station in life, or even how he came to Christ, how he was saved. In many ways, he was a behind-the-scenes kind of a man. A Christian who faithfully served the Lord in the background. Paul and Timothy, these two men that we previously considered, they were prominent servants of Christ within the early New Testament church. But Epaphroditus was the opposite to this. He was what we would call the ordinary man of God. The ordinary man of God who worked tirelessly behind the scenes for Christ. Epaphroditus in many ways represents the many within the church of Christ. The many who labour from week to week and year to year. The many who serve the Lord without fuss. Who diligently just give of their talents and their time and their wealth to God's service. And do what they can for Christ. This was Epaphroditus. He wasn't an apostle. He wasn't a preacher. He wasn't a great leader. He wasn't a prominent figure. He was the ordinary Christian. A man that did what he could. A man that served the Lord in whatever capacity came to him. He was just the ordinary believer. As the apostle brings Epaphroditus to the attention of the believers in Philippi, and as he brings him to our attention too, he sets this man forth, this ordinary Christian forth, as a good example of the committed Christian. The good example of the committed Christian. If we wanted to summarize this man, if we want to sum up his life as we find him here in Scripture, we could say he was a faithful, reliable servant of God who was 100% committed to the cause of Christ. And that was Epaphroditus. He was this man, this ordinary believer, this ordinary Christian, who was 100% committed to the cause of Christ. The church in Philippi recognized this about Epaphroditus as they sent him to Paul. He was the man selected from among them to go to Paul and to support and encourage him as he was in prison. And that was Epaphroditus. The church here in Philippi, they had sent him out. They had selected him. Go to Paul. Go to the apostle Paul as he there is in prison. And you support him. You encourage him. You stand by him. And that's what they did with Epaphroditus. And of course, they selected him for they saw that here was a believer who was committed to the cause of Christ. Here was a believer who could be trusted. Paul also saw the same in Epaphroditus. For he says of him in verse 30, notice what Paul says of Epaphroditus in verse 30, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life. Epaphroditus was so committed to the cause of Christ and the gospel that he was willing to risk his own life for its success. He didn't regard his own life. He didn't regard his own physical well-being for the cause of Christ. He was willing to risk it all in the cause of Christ. That's the committed Christian. That's the Christian who is 100% for the cause of Christ. And you see, this was Epaphroditus. This man, this relatively unknown believer, who labored behind the scenes for Christ, is our great example in what it is to be a committed Christian. That's what I want us to notice this morning about Epaphroditus. He was the good example of the committed Christian. As we then think of Epaphroditus as the committed Christian, the first thing we see here is the description of the committed Christian. And we have it in verse 25, the description of the committed Christian. It says there, but I trust in the Lord. Verse 25. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion, and labour, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. Paul here, in these words, describes Epaphroditus in five different ways. He describes him in five different ways. He calls him my brother, my companion in labour, my fellow soldier. Then he speaks of him as the messenger. And lastly, he calls him the one who ministered unto my wants. This fivefold description that Paul gives of this man really gives us an insight into the type of believer he was. The Holy Spirit, as he speaks through Paul here, just does not use words for no reason. Of course, God, and God by His Spirit, never does this. Every word in Scripture is significant. And every word in Scripture is important. There's no exaggeration. There's no rhetoric in God's Word. Every word should be carefully noted and carefully considered. Therefore, as God by His Spirit speaks here, He paints a picture with these fivefold, or this fivefold description of Epaphroditus, the committed Christian. We have a picture here of this man, the type of man he was. We could say we have in this fivefold description the nature or the character of the committed Christian. This is what a committed Christian is, in other words. And that's what God by His Spirit is saying here in verse 25. This is the characteristics. This is the nature of what it is to be a committed Christian. Notice in this description, firstly, we have the closeness of Epaphroditus. Paul calls him my brother. My brother. And this is a term of affection. It reflects the close connection these men had. They had a close connection. Paul was the apostle. He was the man of God. He was the man inspired of the Holy Ghost to write the Scriptures. And yet Epaphroditus had a closeness to him. Paul calls him his brother. There was a spiritual relationship here. They were both born again and so belonged to the same household and family of faith. They had the same father. As Paul looked upon Epaphroditus, he saw a committed Christian that bore the family traits of grace and godliness. He saw that in his life. Here's a young man, and he displays godliness. He displays grace. Paul seen Christ in him. And so Paul calls him, "You're my brother. You're my brother." There was a closeness with Paul. Of course, that is something that is always seen in the committed Christian. The family trait of Christ-likeness and of godliness. I wonder, could Paul say that of us today? If he was to observe our lives, if he was to observe us at home with our family, if he was to observe us in our workplace, in the work environment, if he was to observe us at school, as we're out and about with our friends, would Paul be able to say, "That's my brother. That's my sister"? Because he could see Christ-like traits in our lives. Godliness. We see here the closeness of Epaphroditus. Notice also the companionship of Epaphroditus. The apostle calls him not only my brother, but my companion in labor. My companion in labor. Epaphroditus did not stand by and watch Paul work. He did not merely turn up at Rome and say, "Listen, Paul, I'm from the church in Philippi, and I'm here to see how things are going with you. And just to let you know, Paul, we're praying for you, and we're behind you, and we're supporting you, and we're thinking about you, Paul. You know, don't worry about it. We've got your back, and we're thinking all these things, and we're praying about you. We remember you in our prayer meetings." That wasn't just what Epaphroditus did. No doubt he did those things. But he was a companion in labor. And again, remember, these words are put in by the Spirit of God to let us know what kind of man he was. He was a man that saw the need, and he rolled up his sleeves and joined in the work. That's what kind of a man he was. He was a companion in labor. And again, this is very much a feature of the committed Christian. They join in. They get involved in God's work. They harness themselves to their brethren, and they strive together to work and toil in the Master's business to take God's work forward. That's what Epaphroditus did. He was committed. So he labored. He labored. You see, the committed Christian is not slothful about the Master's business. They do not say, "Well, there's nothing I can do." Instead, they say, like Isaiah, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Here is my hands. Here is my feet. Here is my tongue. Here is my time. Here is my talents. Here is my money. Here am I. I'm at your disposal. I will work. I will toil in whatever capacity I can. Take God's work forward." You see, the committed Christian is a companion in labor. They're not just Christians in profession. They're Christians in action. They're companions in labor. They labor, they toil, they work. And this was Epaphroditus. There was the closeness of Epaphroditus, the companionship of Epaphroditus. Notice also the courage of this man, the courage of Epaphroditus. The next way Paul describes him is as a fellow soldier. Fellow soldier. Here we see the courage of this ordinary man of God. The Christian life is warfare. It is a battle against sin, Satan, and this world. Paul reminded Timothy of this as he described the Christian as a soldier. And he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. He also told Timothy, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. The committed Christian is the person who does, with courage, fight the good fight of faith. They do endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And this is what the committed Christian does. There's that courage. They're fellow soldiers. They labor, they toil, they fight. They engage the enemy. Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier who was willing to stand for truth and oppose sin wherever it was found. And that's why we are soldiers. Why are we described as soldiers? Because we're in a battle against sin. In a battle against Satan. That's why. That's why we're described as soldiers. Because of this ongoing conflict in our lives. And you see, as Paul describes this man, as he describes his life, he speaks about him as a fellow soldier. What is that telling us? It is telling us Epaphroditus waged war on sin. He took it on. He exposed it. He fought against it in his own life. And where he's seen it in other places, he was a fellow soldier. The committed Christian is a holy person. He does not compromise with sin. They don't compromise with sin. They don't play with sin, but they continually wield the sword against it. And this was Epaphroditus. He was a man of courage. A man who was a companion in labor. A man that was close to Paul. Another feature of this man of God, notice with me, was his credibility. The credibility of Epaphroditus. You see, the credibility of this godly man, or we see the credibility of this godly man as he is described as the messenger of the church. And that's significant. Verse 25 describes him as the messenger of the church at Philippi. The church at Philippi had sent out Epaphroditus to go and to support and encourage Paul as he was in prison. Now this was no small task. This was no insignificant thing. Epaphroditus, as the representative of the congregation, was charged with helping and supporting the great apostle Paul. He was the messenger of the church. And so for them to send him forth on such an important errand, on such a significant task, tells us that he had a certain credibility in the church. He was a man that was trustworthy. The church in Philippi knew they could put their confidence in him, for he was the committed Christian, one who would not let down the cause of Christ in Philippi. One who could be trusted to represent the cause of Christ, God's work in Philippi well. They knew that when Epaphroditus arrived with Paul, that he would represent them well. He would be a good reflection upon them. He had that credibility. Yes, Epaphroditus was just an ordinary Christian. And yet he was respected amongst his brethren. He was so respected amongst his brethren that he was their messenger. Their messenger. Now that's a challenge to us all today. Each one of us who know Christ. Do I have such a credible testimony in this fellowship that I could be chosen as the messenger of the church in Garva? That's what Epaphroditus was. This ordinary man, this ordinary believer, taken out of the congregation, and he was sent forth from the congregation as the representative. Because they had confidence in him. They knew he was a committed Christian. And could that scenario happen with me? I want you to ask yourself the question today. If the church in Garva needed a messenger, needed someone to represent them, say perhaps to go to some other country, and to represent this congregation before a body of people, would they think of you? But they say, well, there's a person, you know, and they're committed to Christ. There's a person, and they will not let the cause of Christ down. They will be faithful. 100% committed. We'll send that person. That was Epaphroditus. That's the committed Christian. There's the credibility of Epaphroditus. One last thing, notice in this description of him, there's the care of Epaphroditus. The last way Paul describes him is as the one who ministered to my wants. The one who ministered to my wants. That is, he cared for him. He became a servant to Paul and labored to help and to support him. And again, we're brought to see another important feature of the committed Christian. They will serve their brethren. They will minister to their wants. They will not be like the Levite and the priest who passed by on the other side. But they will support their brethren. Particularly those who perhaps find things difficult. And Paul was in a difficult place. He was in prison here. But Epaphroditus was the committed Christian who cared for him, who ministered to his wants. And that is speaking about how he ministered to him in every way. Cared for him. Showed affection and love towards him. He ministered to his wants. And again, this is very much a feature of the committed Christian. They will care for their brethren. Particularly those that are hurting. Particularly those perhaps that are falling by the wayside. Perhaps those that are injured by sin and Satan. They will care. And they will go after them. And they will seek to be praying for them. Because they're committed to Christ's cause. As we have briefly considered, and we have just briefly considered this fivefold description of the committed Christian, how does it compare with our lives? How does it? And holding our lives up to the example of this ordinary Christian. And again, let me emphasize it. It is just an ordinary Christian we're looking at today. And holding our lives up to the example of this ordinary man of God, the question we must ask is, am I really a committed Christian? Am I really? This term, being a committed Christian, is often used today. Something that's often bandied about. People say, well, you know, I'm a committed Christian. But here's the description. Here's God's description. Here's the definition. Therefore, as we view our lives in the light of what God says here about Epaphroditus, we must ask ourselves the question, are we really committed Christians? And so we see here, firstly, the description of the committed Christian. Then notice with me, secondly, the desire of the committed Christian. Notice what it says in verse 26. For he longed after you all. That is Paul speaking about Epaphroditus. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that ye had heard that he had been sick. We see here the desire that filled the heart of Epaphroditus. The church in Philippi had heard that he had been sick. They'd been taken ill. And Epaphroditus knew how this would have affected the believers in Philippi. On hearing of his illness, they would have been greatly distressed at such news. It would have brought sorrow and anguish to their souls. There was a real bond of love which existed between these early believers. An intense mutual love for each other. And so as Epaphroditus thinks of the sadness his serious sickness would have brought to the church in Philippi, what happens is he's filled with heaviness. He's filled with sadness. He is distressed because they're distressed. And this is why Paul in the end sends Epaphroditus back. See the words in verse 28. Paul says, I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Paul sends Epaphroditus back to Philippi so that being united again with them, both parties might rejoice. Epaphroditus was heavy of heart. He was sad because his sickness, his illness had brought sadness to the church in Philippi. As we think of what Paul says here concerning the believers in Philippi and also concerning Epaphroditus, what we see is the desire that fills the heart of the committed Christian. Epaphroditus, his desire, his longing of heart, the thing which weighed heavy upon his soul, was that his life might be a means of blessing and rejoicing to fellow believers. That was his desire. The fact that his sickness, his ill health troubled his fellow believers was a troubling thing to him. And that's a very amazing thing to see here. You see, the desire of the committed Christian is always to lift up their brothers and sisters and give to them a cause to rejoice. That's what the desire of the committed Christian is. And so when a brother or sister causes sorrow to another brother or sister, it ought to cause us heaviness. As I read these words and thought about Epaphroditus and how he was full of heaviness. Heaviness because his sickness, something that was out of his control, something he couldn't control himself. He was heavy because his sickness brought distress to other believers. I couldn't help but think of how far the church today is from this type of love between brethren. How far are we from this? We're light years from it. Light years. Millions of miles away from this. Here is this man, and he's sick. And all he's concerned about is the fact that his sickness was troubling the church. He's not concerned about himself. Not worried about himself. Listen to the words of John Gill, the great Bible commentator, as he comments here in verse 26. This is what he says. We have here an instance of that mutual love, tender affection and sympathy which were in the first churches. See how they loved one another. But alas, this first love is left. And that was John Gill's. He was a great man of God, a great Bible commentator. That was his verdict on this verse. It is an example, it is an instance where we see the love that existed in the early church. But this love was left. And Epaphroditus' sickness, it was not himself he was concerned about. His desire was not for his own welfare, but that of his brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it was. And in this sense, we can say it was Christ-like love. And that's what he had. That's why he was concerned by his brethren, because it was Christ-like love that filled his soul. That's what welled up within him. And that's where this desire flows out of. Christ-like love. Christ has told us in John 15 and 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And how has Christ loved us? He's loved us by thinking not of himself, but by thinking of us. He's loved us by not worrying about what pain and torment and wrath he would endure. He's loved us by worrying about the pain and wrath and torment and hell that we would endure. He loved us, and therefore he gave himself for us. His desire was for his people, for their happiness and for their blessing. This was the desire of Christ towards us, his people. And you see, this is what was in Epaphroditus' heart. This same Christ-like love, not concerned about himself, not concerned about his own issues, even his health issues, even his issues that were bringing him close to death. He wasn't concerned about that. But it was how his own physical illness had impacted upon the church. And that's what brought him to stress. And that's why Paul had to send him back. What a picture of love here. The desire of the committed Christian. It's one of love. Moving on again quickly here. Notice with me the dedication of the committed Christian. Verse 30 tells us, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward me. Full dedication to the cause of Christ was seen in Epaphroditus' life. It was seen from the fact that he had put the work of Christ before his own physical well-being. He did not regard his life. And so if the work of God of his exerts in the work of Christ meant that he lost his life, well, that was a price Epaphroditus was happy to pay. He was happy to pay that price. If the work of Christ meant that he would lose his life, so be it. That was the attitude of this man. This is really the acid test of what it is to be a committed Christian. This is really where the rubber hits the road. This is the great trademark of the truly committed believer. Their dedication to the cause of Christ. Epaphroditus' dedication was such that he did not even regard his own life. Again, in the light of the life of this man, this ordinary man of God, we must examine our own lives. And our own dedication to Christ. Are we committed Christians? Are we committed and dedicated to the cause of Christ? If we are, we will do all in our power to support the work of God. That's what we will do. We will do all in our power. We will be in the house of God on the Lord's day. We will be found in the place of prayer, earnestly seeking the Lord for his help and for his blessing. Now let me ask you a question today, and I want you to answer honestly with me. And again, we're thinking of this man who is our example. This ordinary believer God has given to us as our example. Dear people, do you think Epaphroditus would have missed the evening service? Do you think Epaphroditus would have neglected the prayer meeting? Do you think Epaphroditus would have put the things of this world before the work of God? This is God speaking to us here. This is God giving us the example of the committed Christian for our edification and for our learning. Of course, Epaphroditus would not have. He did not even regard his own life as he gave himself to the work of Christ. This is the committed Christian. There is that dedication to Christ's cause in their lives. As we then consider the acid test of the committed Christian, dedication to Christ, what does this reveal to us about our own walk with God? What does it say to us about ourselves? Are we like this man of God, Epaphroditus? Are we like him? Do we compare well to him? Or are we like the believers in the church at Laodicea, which Christ described as lukewarm? That's how Christ described them, as lukewarm. They took the name of being Christians, but there was no conviction. There was no dedication to Christ in their lives. And that's what it means, as Christ describes them, as lukewarm. By appearances, everything looks well. The appearance looks acceptable. But when you actually taste their Christianity, it was only lukewarm. There was no dedication in it. There was no commitment in it. There was no giving of themselves to Christ. They were just lukewarm. Who are we today? Are we like Epaphroditus? Or are we like the Christians in Laodicea? Remember also what the Savior said in Luke 9, verse 62. Said, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And again, this is speaking about dedication to the cause. The committed Christian is not looking back. They are dedicated to the cause, and so they are pressing on at all cost. That's the committed Christian. They don't have their hand in the plough. They're not saying, listen, I'm putting my hand in Christ's service. I'm with Christ. And really, they're looking back at the world and living for the world. That's not the dedicated, committed Christian. They're not looking back. That's what Christ is saying. That's what Christ is saying. We must examine our hearts today in the light of God's truth. Epaphroditus brings us to ask some very hard questions about ourselves. The ordinary man of God. And yet he was committed to Christ. I should say as well, as we think of the words of verse 30, that the last words of this verse do not criticize or point out a fault with the church in Philippi. And I just want to make that very clear. And Paul says here at the end of verse 30, to supply your lack of service to me. Paul was not saying that the church in Philippi were deficient in helping him. He wasn't criticizing them. He wasn't saying, listen, this church was failing to support me. Paul in Philippians 4, verse 15, testifies of how they did support him. Notice what he says there in verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. And so Paul commends them for their giving. And he commends them for their sacrificial giving. And so he's not criticizing the church here in the words of verse 30 where he says, your lack of service. But what Paul is doing is, he's speaking of how Epaphroditus did that which they couldn't do. Epaphroditus came in person. This is what it's speaking about. When it says to supply your lack of service, the church in Philippi couldn't come in person. But they sent Epaphroditus in person to personally encourage him. And that is what Paul is speaking about. Paul is saying, Epaphroditus was the man who came personally and encouraged me to supply that which you couldn't supply. Or your lack of supply. That's really what he was saying. It's not a criticism. He was really saying Epaphroditus was so dedicated to me that he is the one that came personally and supplied my want, my needs. Really, and again, it shows us Epaphroditus' dedication to Christ's cause. Paul here was in prison. He was facing serious charges. Association with Paul could mean that you could be dragged into it and put to death as well. But this man was dedicated. He supplied the lack of service. So he did that which the church couldn't do. Personally going to Paul and helping him. He didn't consider his life before the cause of Christ. A committed Christian is a dedicated person. One last thing in closing. Notice here the distinction of the committed Christian. Verse 29 tells us, "Rejoice or receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation." Notice what Paul is saying to the believers in Philippi concerning Epaphroditus. As he sends them back, he sends them back into their company, he sends them back into the fellowship, and he says, "Receive him with gladness and hold him in reputation." In other words, value him, hold him in honor, and show to him respect. That's what Paul is saying here. As Epaphroditus arrives back into the fellowship, you respect him, hold him in reputation, receive him gladly. How important it is that we see what Paul is saying here. Paul does not say that there are people in the church at Philippi who are great speakers, hold them in reputation. He doesn't say if there's those in the church in Philippi who are great prayers, who pray long prayers, who are eloquent in the place of prayer, hold such an honor. He doesn't say receive those people gladly who have great ability and are highly educated. Oh, they'll support the word, they'll strengthen it. He doesn't say that. He does not say hold in reputation those that show leadership qualities. But he points to Epaphroditus. The ordinary Christian who was committed to Christ, and he says, receive him gladly and hold such in reputation. In other words, hold him in reputation and such that are like him. Such that are like him, hold them in reputation. You see, in the church, this is who we should highly value. Not talent, not gifts, but those that are committed to Christ and to his cause. God's not looking for professors today. He's not looking for doctors or philosophers. But he's looking for Epaphroditus. That's who he's looking for. He's looking for the committed, 100% sold out Christian. The one that will stand for him and his cause. Will you be the Epaphroditus of this church? The ordinary, but fully committed Christian, will you? It's held in respect, held in reputation, and valued. This is what the church, humanly speaking, needs today. From a human perspective, this is what is so desperately needed in the church. Committed Christians, Epaphroditus, that will stand strong for Christ, stand in the face of adversity and difficulty, and will labor on and put their lives on the line for the Savior. This is what is so desperately needed, humanly speaking. Of course, we need the pouring out of God's Spirit in a spiritual sense. But from the human perspective, we must recognize this is what is needed. Will you be the committed Christian? I trust you will be. And that you will be the Epaphroditus of this congregation. May God bless his truth to each one of our hearts for his own name's sake. Amen.